Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at Resonant Truth. Today on the Zolk'in count is called Red Solar Earth, and it is the ninth day of the Red Moon Wave Spell, and it is the planetary moon day two. So we aren't in the solar moon anymore, and yet here we have a solar day that can kind of remind us of what we just went through for 28 days. I can't even talk about what the solar tone is, though. It really, really wiped me out. I think it's because my mom is solar. I struggle with my solar mom and my upbringing. When it is the solar tone, I feel like I'm living with my mom again. And that's exhausting. So we transit out of that, and it becomes planetary, and this time of year, meaning in the 13 moon year, it's just not my favorite time. So let me explain what is happening, and then maybe why it seems challenging to me. What is happening that's positive, if we think about the arc of the 13 moon year and the annual wave spell that we do repeatedly year after year, this time of year, i.e. April, is always the manifestation in the year's growth, the highest point of ascent in this wave of the wave spell that I always talk about. The wave climbs, ascends into the sky, like we're visualizing it like an ocean wave. And in the planetary tone, whether it's a day or 28 days or a whole year, but in that 10th stage of 13, there's a cap on ascent and growth. But it's not just like running out of steam, it's like running into a gravitational force that says, you can't go any higher. So actually it's a combination. Like we have a certain amount of velocity and we climb in altitude because of this power surging, a force that grew at some point from some kind of like convulsive seismic rupture deep in the ocean, and it, or winds, or currents pushed the surging wave higher. And every wave spell takes us to a different highest peak. But what always happens is an intersection of like us expending or exhausting the force that we were rising with, and that's increased, it's countered. And so the slowing or the stymieing of the wave is increased or stopped by the opposing gravitational field that wants to pressure things to Earth, that the Earth has a kind of suction, and that's what keeps us stuck to it as well. So whenever we're in the planetary tone, we can notice, like, look at all this stuff that I've grown to accomplish, or this visionary insight I hold from being up so high, or I've never felt closer to the divine realm, the cosmos, the heavens, whatever, you know, we aspire to that's out there and off the Earth's surface. Like we're gaining that intimacy with the sky and the highest point of our wave in the planetary tone. So all these wonderful aspirational shifts can come true in the planetary tone. It's like a peak experience. But that's, there's this paradox of like, why is it the peak? Well, because you can't go any farther. And I think a lot of us know what it feels like when you can't go any farther. That's how I feel in my fucking house project. Just like, I don't feel like I can go any farther. I guess I will, but feeling like you can't really do something while doing it is the tension point of the planetary tone. Just like, well, I want to keep going. I guess I was going strong. I had this idea of going and going and going, but in reality now, there's a lot of resistance to me continuing the aspirational journey to climb into the, you know, the heavens. So that is what we wrestle with for 28 days. And it's not always a wrestling match inside of us or around us. It kind of alternates, I think, from being like, oh my gosh, look at everything I've gotten done, to, okay, I really can't do anymore. And then maybe even some like, what the hell? Why am I being kept back from my potential? And, you know, what gravity does, I guess, in this metaphor is it just tells us it's the end of the journey for this wave spell. It's not the end of your attempts to break through, you know, past your ceilings of limitation. But this, you know, this particular wave has peaked. And if you, you know, think about how children draw the ocean's surface or how we actually see it if we're gazing upon it, I mean, one wave after another, they can be very similar in size. And, you know, meaning every time there's a wave spell, we're going to gain altitude. But they're like surging giant waves that go all the way up higher than we can imagine and plunge us down farther than we can, you know, feel safe with. And then there are small waves, gentle waves. And it's up to you to determine, I guess, experientially, what kind of wave spell this particular, you know, Mayan year is. I think Blue Lunar Storm last year was probably like just an epic big wave year, you know, the kind that the surfers wait for, and that maybe this is a gentler wave cycle this year. And so who knows? We're like 2 days in. I don't know what the manifestation is. I said a lot in the solar moon about we asked and prayed and wished, and we were really on fire with our aspirational drive. And there is an answer that we're going to get back. We just have to kind of interpret it. How does it relate to the wishing and dreaming that was so volatile and fiery within us last moon? We're going to get answers. We're going to get, as they say, manifestation, things that are realized, actualized, that we had imagined or hoped for. But I don't know which. We just have to watch and see. And then the other corollary, or I guess it's a correlation between now and the year journey I talked about a couple podcasts ago, or maybe just last time, but that the planetary moon is very related to the lunar moon that happened last August or September, right in there. So that's why it can feel itchy and clunky, because we're actually sort of bridging the whole interim space by being like, wait, this is reminding me of my challenge. I kind of felt distance from it. And I have explained this, you know, in terms of imagery, that it's kind of like our challenge is presented as a wall that we just walk right into, back in the lunar tone. Like, what? This is a major obstacle. And then we spend moons or days in a 13-day wave spell. We just have like 8 different stages that is basically us overcoming that obstacle, because it's a climbing wave. So it does, it gains altitude, and the obstacle seems small as we gain altitude. But it's as if in the planetary tone, when we're finally at the peak of our climb that we really, really remember all of a sudden the obstacle that we're climbing over. It's like we meet it, like, and also the compression that would come, you know, and this idea of gravity kind of pushes us right into the obstacle, even if we're on the top of it. I just think that it's like cycling back into examination of the obstacle that was presented to us early on in the year. And I don't remember what mine was. It's probably written in some book, because I always, you know, invite everyone to write down what your purpose and challenge is at the beginning of the year. So that's what's going on. You know, I just feel like, okay, the whole New Age vernacular about manifestation makes me super sour. I just think it's another way of looking at spirituality as a means to produce monetary gain or material gain. And so it is, you know, I'm reluctant to be like, yes, it's the moon of manifestation. It's the planetary tone of manifestation. We're going to get things. Like, it doesn't, I don't think it operates in that way of accumulating and amassing. I think instead it's the moon, the tone where we are reminded that we are ourselves manifestation instead of ether. Because a lot of the journey in the calendar, I believe, or at least my angle on it, my own approach, is that it gets me in touch with this totally surreal world of energy movement and ancient karma. I mean, I don't know what the hell you would call it, but just like anything that isn't cellular, anything that's not physical, earthly, everyday embodiment. It's all the dreaming and visualizing and like kinetic synchronicities that prove that there's magic. And it's dreaming that has special significance. And, you know, we can just find all of this like illustrated underworld in our own beings and around us and between each other. And that's why I like natural time and the Mayan teachings. So the manifestation part is about 1/13th of the picture for me, one tone of 13, the tone of manifestation, the planetary tone. And the rest of the time, it's like, yeah, being adrift in the psyche. So I think that's what the planetary tone can do or be, is just like facing our karma as earthlings, as incarnated beings who have physical bodies and built up scar tissue and muscle memory and great skills. It's a really good time to use those skills to be achievers. And that's what's going on. Before I started, I was like, I'll have to tell everyone I have long COVID because my brain doesn't really work the same. Don't know if it's actually my COVID experience's lingering symptoms or if I'm just attuned to how we all lost a lot of our bearings through getting COVID / being in the pandemic experience. But I don't feel that way now that I'm blabbing on the mic about things I love. But when I'm moving around the world, I feel like I'm underwater, which is what the red moon wave spell does. You know, like when you were a kid and you played in the pool all day long and then you're kind of waterlogged. That's a good memory. That's what the red moon is like, being pulled tidally inside and being pulled with the current outside. And I've had a hard time, but it's predictable. It's my antipode time. And the hard time I've had is just feelings of sadness, feelings of, well, I mean, I don't know if it's a feeling to feel apathetic, but it's certainly not joy. I don't think that red moon is a very joy-feeling time. I guess that's my analysis here, is that red moon is about emotions, but not the happy one. I mean, I think you could be happy, like, you know how when the tide is really, really high and water is just sort of filling all of the cavities of a beachhead, and there's something very nice about that, like a full reservoir. And I think that fullness could be a red moon feeling. Like, I just feel really supported. But I think there's just a lot of fluid feeling and the changing feelings and a vast array of feelings. And I have just felt low, and I have felt, way more crying than in ages. And not like a sinister amount of crying, but just like, whoa, I'm not used to actually expressing myself crying, but it's been happening. And that seems really red moon to me. What else about it? It's a time of purification and being a purist. So that's problematic sometimes, you know, like you can't be too pure and actually, I think, be grateful, you know, like the Puritan or the purist of the red moon time of purification. If you kind of get wedged over and like everything needs to be very pure, then it gets really hierarchical and obsessive. So that's an interesting shadow energy that can happen around red moon. But there is equally the celebration of how great it is to clean things or organize them in some way, you know, purifying your environment, purifying your body, purifying spring cleaning. You know, I don't need all of these other trappings. I want my life to be more fluid. I suppose that could happen with relationships. I feel like I'm purifying myself from a couple of relationships that were not dark and evil, but just like spring cleaning. Like, well, I don't really ever wear that, or whenever I put that on, it doesn't really feel right. That's how I'm describing this relationship. I mean, I always want to wear it, but when I actually put it on, it's, I think it's kind of tight and it's not very becoming. So maybe you have something like that happening. What else is red moon? Well, I wanted to just point out, like, well, I think yellow sun is a lot about joy. And it's not only about that, but like when I was saying red moon doesn't seem to have the feelings of like smiling, laughing. I think that it is very much about the feeling state of allowing death to move through our bodies, which is what the menstrual situation is. You know, 99% of our menstruations for women are not producing life. They are allowing death to pass through us. And so that's where the emotions lean in the red moon experience, is in not being fertilized, but actually allowing the passage of an egg from our bodies and bleeding, you know, the same way men bleed in war. And I guess I don't mean men in America, modern times, but I just mean in the archetypal ages. A man, the masculine, might be at war with swords drawn, lots of blood. Women already know the experience of lots of blood in their bodies. And so sometimes it's like the male aspect is playing catch up with us, because we just have this graphic menstrual experience. Somehow that plays into red moon. The intertidal cyclical nature of a human. All right, I have to stop talking about it because I'm your antipode. Remember what I said? I'm enjoying being on the microphone and talking and sharing about the experience, but you might find me really abrasive and not your cup of tea in this antipode time. because I'm definitely grappling with that. I just realized I can come full circle and go, I feel very much like people don't want to be around me right now. I'm sure I'm creating that, you know, through my filter of natural time, I'm assigning that. But I'm also just like, this is the foundation of like, most of my belief system is, let's see, most of my inarguable belief system, and a lot of my belief system is arguable, but it's pretty inarguable here. And I don't know why, both because it's really powerful and I trust and love it and it's supported me. I mean, following the Solkin and other Mayan calendars has been, you know, it hasn't had a downside. So I tend to be pretty on board. But yes, and because I'm pretty on board and I just have a lot of not blind faith, I think informed faith, like, no, it's real to me. I'm over the struggle of having to convince someone else that it's real. It's real for me. So therefore, it makes sense that a lot of people wouldn't want to be around me right now. And it doesn't sound like I'm being like, oh, nobody likes me. I do feel that way. Feel like a bunch of people don't like me. I don't feel very welcome. But I also tell myself, like, if that's really happening, which is kind of cool because it's right on time, it's going to end in a handful of days. So you might feel forlorn and forsaken and unwanted and unlovable, but it's just like 13 days. And, it's an antipodal experience. Another thing, though, I just wanted to let you all know that I think leading up to your Mayan birthday is very hectic. Very hectic. And mine is 21 days away. So I'm kind of like tightening up the old seatbelt for that ride, descending into rebirth, moving through the portal of a birth canal as I re-enter my next blue overtone storm iteration. And so you can anticipate when your Mayan birthday is coming up. Just try to pay attention to the countdown because it could explain a lot of surging life lessons. I watch it happen to people that have no idea that it's their Mayan birthday. Intensified experience, and then it gives way. Usually when your Mayan birthday comes, then it gives way, just the way getting out of the womb when you've been stuck and wedged in there as you've grown and grown in utero, it feels good to get out. So the end before our Mayan birthday is very much that image of being like ready to be reborn, even though we have to go through a pretty intense birth canal. It's also intense being stuck where we are. That's what makes us willing to go through this final stage of pushing into freedom. So I'm just holding these different perceptions of my own discomfort, and some of them are astrological for sure. Let's see. In terms of, I guess I felt like maybe I sullied the Natural Time podcast by talking about the Oscars, but I think I was broadcasting from the night of watching it, and I had Simply Astrology to refer to, that we were finishing up the yellow, it was on yellow cosmic star. So we were finishing the yellow warrior wave spell, and it was an act of war, right? Whatever. It was just lingering. They called it toxic masculinity, and I'm all, I don't think of yellow warriors having toxic masculinity, but I guess I see that, like, the warrior and the warlike impulses or the preparedness for war meeting the volatile emotional sway or surge of red moon, overcome with kind of feminine feelings, but, you know, still in the warrior way. And I'm talking about a man, not a female, man having feminine feelings and not femme feelings or less than masculine feelings, but more like feelings, deep vulnerability feelings, sensitivity feelings. The inner feminine sort of has the assignation of that. So anyway, that happened, and I looked up all the people's birthdays, and pretty much sure that you don't care and we don't need to care, but I guess I wanted to say that it stopped me from thinking about Ukraine for a couple days. And, you know, I'm stopping, you know, my thoughts, because it was hard to watch something like that make us forget the war in Ukraine. In terms of headline news. And so now we have that back. We have horror in Ukraine. And I'm mentioning it because Putin is a yellow human and it's red moon. It's his occult wave spell. So it's his time of surprise and hiding. He's hiding, right? We don't know what's going on. The Russian invasion kind of got, there was a withdrawal, but they could be like amping up. I don't know what to say, because I think the occult partnership feels enchanted, but it's not all white magic, you know, it's black magic as well. So when I go through my occult partner, which is White Wind, it's not all like happy fairy unicorn time. Instead, there's like some ogres and, you know, maybe some sociopaths that are like the wolf in sheep's clothing, you know, like it's not all red toadstools and Tinkerbell. It's a lot, but it is like the place of enchantment that we each enter. So we're in Putin's time of enchantment, and it's just something I've been thinking about. And I guess maybe I already said this, but I'm going to say it again, that Zelensky is a blue hand. He's a blue crystal hand. He's got a lot of bombast. And you know what he has is he's a real know-it-all. Like Trump is also a blue hand. And, you know, I'm guided by blue hands, so I'm not trying to diss it. But it's kind of like know-it-all. Is sort of one of the like playground versions of the blue hand. And Zelensky is that. I mean, I'm all for him being off the rails, intense, for good reason. But he's not like a saint, and he's not, you know, he doesn't have like a, I mean, all I'm saying is that he has a lot to say, and he thinks he clearly knows solutions, and he wants other people to know them, so he expresses it. But I also just, you know, he's a blue crystal hand, and he had his Mayan birthday really recently. It was the day before the Oscar slap, aka blue crystal hand preceded yellow cosmic star. And so he just had his Mayan birthday, and his hardship might be abating. Not sure. It seems pretty hard still, but he's been reborn. And the last thing is that he is guided by storm. So I have to kind of prop myself up here, since it's my antipode wave spell and people don't want to be around me. That's not true. There are people that actively want to be around me. But nonetheless, it is my opposite time. And what I see is the storm is volatile. Storm is, you know, it doesn't flow. It cracks open. It disrupts flow. It's all water, and it's, you know, the sky is involved as well, but it is not just like rolling downhill. Things explode. So that's why it's different than what we're in right now. And just out there on the horizon line, the wave spell after this is White Wind. And that's interesting to me as I say it aloud, because it is my occult wave spell. So I'll be able to report from the inside of my own occult enchantment, the white magic and the black magic that I've alluded to. I can't wait. I can't wait. From antipode to occult, to my in birthday. That's what's coming up for me. And just really quickly, we are going to hit a planetary day in the planetary moon tomorrow, which I guess tomorrow is Wednesday, and it's white planetary mirror, and it's a portal day, and it's a white mirror day, and it's the day of manifestation and the moon of manifestation, and it's when every wave is stopped by gravity. So just wanted you to be ready for that. I am Lisa Starr. I am another yourself. And in Mayan we say, in Lakesh.